Hello and welcome to an Inside College Hockey podcast recorded Monday, March 3rd, 2008. My name is Joe Gladyszewski, editor, senior writer at Inch, joined by Jeff Howe from Hockey East, Jess Myers from the WCHA, and Inch columnist and editor Mike Eidelbus. Hello, gentlemen.
I'm super, and thanks for asking.
Nice, bud.
What was that? Nice.
And Big AL. Thank you, Big AL.
We call him BGA.
BGA. He's our alternative hockey correspondent.
He's one of our five. It's too early for deterioration.
Too early for deterioration. Let's talk about college hockey, and we will start, as always, in the West, because it's most important. We'll start where the sun sets, in the West. Jess, you guys out there in that fancy league still have a league regular season title to play for, the title that you claim nobody ever wants to win.
Well, that'll be interesting to see this weekend, because there's going to be a real battle for a few spots. It's amazing that we've played 26 league games in most cases. Two teams are already done. Wisconsin and Alaska Anchorage have concluded their regular seasons, but the other eight teams still have two games to play, and there is plenty up in the air with just those two games remaining. Colorado College, as probably everybody saw, got beat Saturday night by Minnesota State, which means CC has a two-point lead on North Dakota heading into the final weekend. Number one ranked North Dakota, by the way, and not just in the Inch power rankings. And that will be real interesting. North Dakota is at home against St. Cloud State, while Colorado College has a home-and-home with the University of Denver, their hated rivals. And we'll have to see if North Dakota can pull off the kind of come-from-behind here. I think they've gone something like 15 games without a loss now, so it'll be interesting to see if they can grab that league title right at the final moment.
CC is 15-2-0 at home this year, so that's a huge win for the Mavericks, as they were able to do something that a lot of teams couldn't do, and that's get some points out of Colorado Springs. It kind of gives them a leg up on the teams that they're facing and competing against for those playoff positions, don't you think?
15-2-0 at home, but the Tigers have lost two of their last three home games. How about that? St. Cloud State a couple weeks ago, and then they had a...
I'm more of a glasses-half-full guy.
Okay. Well, then they're unbeatable.
15-2-0.
They have cool unis.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. No, I mean, take nothing away from Colorado College. They're a very good team. And, you know, I guess the way these things generally shake out, I could see a split of the league title, which isn't unprecedented. It happened just a couple of years ago. As good as St. Cloud State is, I would not want to be going to North Dakota right now. So I could see the Sioux winning a pair there and a split between CC and Denver, which would give us a split McNaughton Cup.
What's your guys' take on regular season championships? Start with Bus.
I think that I've always felt that they hold more water than the than a playoff championship. Just because you know, it's indicative of consistency of excellence over a period of, you know, what are we talking, 4 or 5 months, as opposed to, you know, potentially getting hot over a 2 or 3 week stretch. So you know, in that regard, I think that, you know, I've always felt that the regular season championship carries a little bit more significance, just because of that, just because of what it represents. You know, a season long chase, but I tend to believe that way of looking at things is in the minority.
Yeah, I agree with what you say there, and you know, it all makes perfectly good sense. But just looking at it from the other way, if you're going to win the postseason championship, that means, well, I mean, I'm pretty sure if you ask most teams which championship they'd rather win, the regular season or the postseason, they would take the postseason because, you know, all things aside, it also guarantees a spot in the tournament. And, you know, regardless of how you played throughout the first, you know, 5 months of the season, that means you're playing your best hockey at the most important time of the year. So the regular season title, I don't think is as worth as much as the postseason championship, but I'm not going to discredit anything you said because you make perfect sense. I mean, it means you establish consistency over 4 or 5 months. You were the best team in your conference for over 4 or 5 months, and you know, you can't take that anything away from a team that goes out and wins that hardware.
You'll hear a lot of people say that nobody remembers who won the league, the regular season. You'll remember, you know, the trophy ceremony at, you know, whichever arena your championship is held in. And I agree that that's the case, and you know, you get the NCAA automatic qualifier out of your conference tournament, but to me it's too bad that people don't put more stock in that, you know. It's a in winning the regular season. You know, it's a banner for your rink. It's something to put in the rafters. It's a page in the media guide, you know, that's notable. It's, you know, some programs award their players with rings or tokens of, you know, appreciation, gifts, and things that is well within the NCAA rulebook to do, you know, for winning those competitions. And in the league I cover, that's 22 games. And it's a totally balanced schedule. You know, you play the other 11 teams once at home and once on the road. So you can't say, oh, we had, you know, a bad bounce in the schedule, or, you know, we had to play those guys on the road twice and we only got them at home once, and they're unbelievable at home. So I think it's something to be cherished and respected. And it wasn't too long ago. Rook, you probably were still in elementary school when this happened, but you know, you used to get an AQ to the NCAA tournament for winning your regular season. Back when it was only four conference situation.
That's correct. And
speaking of Colorado College, that was the Colorado College rule, wasn't it? What was that?
Well, they won.
You know, a lot of this started, and granted, Boss and I are a little older than the other two of you, but the 93-94 season?
Yeah, it was.
His first year at Colorado College. The Tigers went worst to first. They had been awful for about 30 years and won the WCHA title. Real close race. I think they tied with Minnesota one time, and that gave them the title by 1 point over Minnesota. Then the Tigers got upset in the first round of the WCHA playoffs by Michigan Tech. Jamie Ram just got hotter than crap in the playoffs, and CC CC was out.
Get out the thermometers, folks.
They did not get an invite. They had won the WCHA regular season title and did not get an invite to the NCAA playoffs. And the following year, they made what was called the Colorado College rule, which said if you win your league title, you're in. Doesn't matter what you do in the league's postseason playoffs.
And didn't it go so far as to say if you win your league and your playoffs, you get a first-round bye? You're automatically slotted into that one spot or the two.
I don't know if that was ever written down, but you know, back
that
in the
was
days
a
when
12
the top,
team,
yeah, back in the 12-team tournament when the top four would get a bye, it would make sense that if you had been your league regular season champion and had been hot enough in the playoffs to win your league playoff championship, you were going to be a number one seed.
Yeah, I think Clarkson did that in like 98 or 99.
I mean, that was obviously pre-computer numbers, too. I mean, I think there was a component of that still involved, but not to the not to the degree of, you know, letter of the law that they follow right now, which, I mean, obviously, you know, we can talk about that ad nauseum.
We have.
Yeah, we have. No, I'm just saying, no.
God forbid you get 10 people who actually watch college hockey all season, know the ins and outs of the game, and they have to select the best teams to play in the tournament. Jeez, that's a horrible system. All right.
Joe, should I tell my computer ranking story that I told you from this past weekend?
Yeah, why don't you?
Yeah, because we were talking about
and
that.
And use proper nouns. Not some guy in some rink.
I was at the National Hockey Center in St. Cloud, Minnesota.
Those are proper nouns, baby. I love it.
I was watching the University of Wisconsin Badgers. Wisconsin playing St. Cloud State.
Next?
No, that's Ollie Williams, but anyway.
Change the host?
Wisconsin's playing St. Cloud State Friday night. The third period is about to start. And my friend Kevin Allensbach, who covers the Huskies for the St. Cloud Times, comes up to me and says, Denver just beat Michigan Tech, which knocked Michigan Tech out of the computer rankings. And St. Cloud, just based on that, without their game being over, had dropped from 7th to 15th.
And that's when you said, I don't care.
Yeah, well, that I didn't say that, but no, but that's when I related the idea, and I think, Boss, you and I were having this IM conversation, but that's why you don't follow the computer rankings on February 29th.
Well, yeah, I think you can use it as a little bit of a... I mean,
you can use it to see who's involved.
It's like a dot-to-dot. You know, when you get two-thirds of the way done with the dot-to-dot, you have a pretty good idea what the picture is, but you're not completely done. You know what I'm saying?
It's a good analogy.
I've always thought it was more like draw Winky. I don't even know what that means.
Let's keep your frat games out of this.
Well, here's the other thing, is that, you know, what's to say that Michigan Tech doesn't come back into those rankings? You know, and give St. Cloud the boost. You have
actually,
to look at the end of the year.
By beating Denver Saturday night, I believe Michigan Tech did come back into those rankings.
Right. You have to look at the end of the year. Because about a month ago, people said, oh, those wins against UMass or those wins against Northeastern look really good because those are teams that could be in the tournament. Then they hit the skids and they don't matter anymore. Or wins against Quinnipiac. You know, so you don't know, and that's why you have to judge the teams at the end of the year. You know, there was a time when Harvard was six games under 500. Now they're nationally ranked. So you have to judge them based on the teams that you're playing against, their complete season. And maybe you caught them at a good time, and that's terrific, and it's a good break for you guys. But you have to look at it at the end.
2 months ago, those two wins Bemidji State got against Army didn't look like much. Now all of a sudden they're a bigger deal.
Yeah, Army's 17 and 14 and 3 or something.
Well, and I think the other thing, too, and again, I've never looked at the stuff closely enough to, and I never will look at it closely enough because...
Proud of you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to know, to be honest with you.
You'd rather watch hockey?
Well, it's like wanting to know what's in it. Yeah, it's like wanting to go and tour a hot dog factory. I don't want to know what's in it. Just want to, you know, I know I like a hot dog every once in a while. Isn't... Anyways.
maybe there should be...
Oscar Mayer, Dog Factory.
Yeah.
Maybe there should be a college hockey version of, like, the President's Trophy, whereas if you're the top computer-ranked team at the end of the season, you get a banner.
I wouldn't be surprised if the team started flying those.
Yeah, you get a... No, you get an old computer. You get like
you get a Tandy.
I was going to say, you get a Commodore 64.
TRS-80.
with
those
a tape
little
drive.
Rubber things.
The cassette drive.
Those little rubber things that you put the phone handset in.
With giant reels. Like a Univac. Anyways. But the thing I was going to get to is this, you know, I'm just kind of looking... And obviously, you know, and I'm not picking on the WCHA, but, you know... Now, obviously, there's a lot of WCHA teams there in that 10, 13, you know, 10, 12, 13, 14 range, kind of, you know, on the verge between in and just out. I mean, there's a big log jam, and it makes me wonder. Well, does it give a little too much credence to strength of schedule, or you know, what is the definition of a strong schedule? Because I mean, you know, right now, you know, when I look at Wisconsin and Minnesota and maybe St. Cloud and Duluth, I mean, A, there's not a lot of difference between those teams, and too, I don't know that... I know the numbers favor them, but I'm not... I don't know that they're better than a Harvard. I don't, you know, but the strength of schedule kind of gives them that advantage of saying, well, they are better than Harvard because this is who they play. Well, you know, Harvard's a pretty good hockey team. And those teams, you know, those teams in the WCHA that are kind of in the middle of the pack are, I mean, they're pretty mediocre teams, let's be honest.
Well, they don't go on the road.
Right. They don't play anybody on the road, usually.
Yeah. You know, they go some places. And it's not the problem is it's not the middle of the pack teams that's the issue. It's
you
the top tier
St. Cloud
teams.
State playing upstate New York this year, buddy.
Yeah, I know that. But if you let me finish my sentence, the one that started with it's not the middle of the pack teams that are the problem.
Right.
The sentence I was in. Okay.
Okay.
It's the top end teams who have the huge arenas and they need the home dates and it's a revenue sport all of a sudden because you can sell 14,000, 15,000, 16,000 tickets. And you can't blame them, but if they invite, you know, the sixth place Hockey East team in for a weekend series and give them a guaranteed gate, of course the Hockey East team's going to accept that weekend. And then they get two wins against them so that WCHA, opponents, it all breaks down and trickles down so that every time a WCHA team plays the big dog, they get credit for, in some indirect way, beating a Hockey East team. So, you know, that's the thing.
Fair point.
You won't see, and I think the College Hockey Showcase is an exception, and I think it's great. But, you know, you'll never get a true interlocking schedule. And then if you get Nebraska, Omaha, and Minnesota State playing against Princeton and Yale, you know, is that a true measure of how North Dakota and Harvard or, you know, Michigan and Boston College will match up against each other? I mean, who knows?
Agreed.
But that's boring. Let's talk about hockey.
Well, I mean, it's boring, but do you really think it's boring?
I'd rather worry about how a team is going to win rather than if a team wins,
well,
this will happen.
No, I mean, I guess the point I'm trying to make is, I don't know, it frustrates me to see these borderline 15 and 14 and 6 teams, you know, I don't think a national tournament should be represented by mediocrity. You know, to me, a 15, 14, and 6 team is not one of the 16 best teams in the nation.
Oh, it is this year.
Well, it is
and,
this
year. And honestly, most years.
Well, I don't buy that.
We always get to that point in February when we
this
look at
year,
the top
think,
5 or 6
teams. I think
this
year is an exception to the rule because, there, I mean, hockey...
This year there's 8 good teams. There's 8 good teams.
Maybe
we've seen
teams.
That.
Well, maybe 8 good teams.
6 or 8, yeah. And that's 8 if you include Boston College and Clarkson, and it's 6 if you don't include them. And that's it. Bottom line.
I include Boston College. I haven't seen Clarkson, but
not right now. They're not a good team at any.
Not right now. When I saw them at Christmas time, they were a good team.
They were a good team. They were a really good team 3 weeks ago.
That's amazing.
They're a terrible team right now.
Yeah, Christmas.
But, you know,
UMass was a good team at Christmas, by the way. Said UMass was a good team at Christmas.
UMass was apparently the 5th best team in the country.
or 4th, depending on...
Apparently they were. Holy mackerel, that's a great
call. Yeah, somebody got that one wrong. They have us fooled.
That'll be on the inside front cover of their media guide next year. Oh, quote.
We'll get an email from their communications department. Hey, can you send us a PDF of the inch power rankings from this? That one that said something about, we believe in UMass finally, or something like that.
How many?
These guys are for real.
How many? How many wins do they have since Christmas?
I think two.
I was going to say.
They just got one.
Come on. It's got to be more than that.
I swear to God. I think it is two wins.
I think it's two.
I'm looking it up right now.
And
they
won
Saturday night, I think.
They beat Maine. They split with Maine, so.
Oh, so maybe it's three.
Okay. Yeah, three wins in Cincinnati.
Yeah. Well, yeah, since January 1. They got the
all
two Christmas tournaments.
All of them at home.
Maine, they beat powerhouses Maine, Northeastern, and Boston University. By the way, good job, BU. I said it on the last podcast. I'll say it again. You know, just because you don't win the bean pot doesn't mean that BU is not going to make that bean pot time charge. You know, they still got it going, even though they didn't get that trophy right around that early part of February.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking in real good shape right now for Hockey East playoffs. I wouldn't want to face them. And if they end up making it into the NCAA, that's not a team you want to play.
Their goaltending is still pretty suspect. They're playing a little bit better defense, but they can score with anybody. In the past couple of years, I mean, BU's offense hasn't been its strong suit. It's been Kari and Nett and the defense in front of them. But this team can score with anybody in the league right now. I mean, I'd really be interested to see what would happen if they paired up with UNH in the tournament here.
That'll be a fun game.
And I guess, you know, if you look at things from that standpoint and kind of talked about having the 6-8 teams, and obviously looking way ahead to the national tournament, I mean, you know, we've maybe got a half dozen that are championship material, but you've also got a team like BC that can come out and just absolutely stink, or they could score 9 goals on you. You have no idea.
Yeah.
And I guess from that standpoint, you know, that'll make some of the first round games more interesting. But I don't know. I think that lower end, those late 3-4 seeds are going to be pretty average teams. That's just my opinion.
Was it last year that number three seeds made it to the Frozen though? Michigan State
was a 3.
Maine and North Dakota, right?
Yeah.
North Dakota was a 3.
Yeah. There you go.
North Dakota was a 3, yes.
Plus, you see a lot of CCHA. Should Notre Dame get in?
They're 10 games
should
over
they,
500.
Not will they. They're 10 games over 500. You know, and again, I'm just, you know, and I know you wouldn't do this, but I did. I looked at the computer rankings. Them being 10 games over 500, they're 2 spots behind Minnesota Duluth, which is 2 games under 500.
Right.
So, to me, that's another indictment of the computer system.
But
that aside, tell me about Notre Dame and should they get in?
I think, you know, I think their record is pretty misleading. I mean, they were like 16-4 before in 2000, you know, the first part of the season here before January 1. You know, I think they probably overachieved a little bit. I mean, they lost a lot of people from last year. Got a lot of scoring back, obviously, but I think defensively they lost a lot of people. You know, that said, you know, they've had some good wins. Unfortunately, when they've had a chance to get some good wins here in the conference, namely Michigan and Michigan State, they lost, and I think they actually did tie Michigan State. But they also have just had some really bad losses here as of late. Ohio State, Western Michigan, Ferris.
They lost in a tie at home against Ohio State. That's
not good.
Ouch.
And shutout.
Ditto, not good business.
Ditto for Ferris State. A loss in a tie at home against Ferris State.
Well, you know,
that
looks a lot better now.
Ferris.
That looks a lot
Ferris
better.
Ferris has beaten Michigan, Miami, Notre Dame. All since the Super Bowl, or right around that time.
Credit Bob Daniels.
As we found out yesterday, how many other teams in the CCHA have done that?
Zero.
That's the only team that's beaten those three. But, you know, going back to Notre Dame, they beat Denver early. They beat Miami.
And you know what, plus not even that. if you throw in the series against Michigan State, Ferris State is 5-4-1 against those top four teams. They've got a winning record against four teams that a lot of people believe are as good as any top four in the country, for sure. We certainly have been saying that.
Yeah.
So it's not like they got one. It's not like they're 3-8 against those teams. It's a winning overall record in 10 games against four very good hockey teams.
And this is a compliment to Ferris, but they're a miserable team to play against. They're just an absolutely miserable team to play against because they're physical and they're patient. And I'm not. And it doesn't mean they're a trapping team or a defensive team, but they're just they'll hit you and hit you and hit you again and rough you up and make it very hard for you. And their goaltending is really good. And they've got some. They've got guys who can. You know, they got some dangerous offensive guys too. But you know, they just battle, and it's not a fun. It's not a fun style of hockey to play.
Sounds like Union.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of similarities between those two programs, I think.
They played to start the.
They did. Yes, they did.
A couple dubs for the Dutchman.
It must have been like an inter-squad scrimmage.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know those Ferris, and they, you know, Ferris kind of got going against Notre Dame. That was really what jump started them, because prior to that they were pretty bad too. I mean they
were scuffling.
They had a loss and tie against Western and
Lake State maybe.
And Lake State. So back to back series they took, and they end up finishing fifth. So the moral of the story is, I don't know. What is it? Let it play out.
Moral of the story is, let's
none of us are qualified to discuss morals.
Well, there's that.
That is the moral of the story.
There's that.
Okay, Joe, you can talk morals.
Who? Okay.
What else is going on? What else we got?
Jack Hillen and Dan Ringwald. Maybe this will be our second, free beer contest on the H podcast. And obviously, people can look it up and find the answer. I guess it's more of a.
Then it can't. No, it can't be a contest. It can't be.
It's not a contest. It's an assignment. As you're listening to this, if you can name either one of these guys, what team they play for. Jack Hillen, H-I-L-L-E-N, or Dan Ringwald, R-I-N-G-W-A-L-D. If you know what team those guys are on, pat yourself on the back for being a great college hockey fan. And we're not calling these guys out for being lousy players or whatever. They're the two leading defenseman scorers in the country right now. Ringwald, 30 points. Hillen, 32 points. Both have 27 assists. So great seasons out of those guys, but it kind of goes back to what we were saying on the Hobie Tracker, that there's not a lot of so-called sex appeal among the candidates this year. A lot of goaltending, a lot of two-way forwards. You know, some guys have put up big point seasons, and you know about the Ryan Jones and Nathan Gerby and Kevin Porter and guys like that. But man, it's a tough one.
And we really haven't discussed it on the podcast, but I think you're looking at four goalies for sure.
Well, I wrote the last week that we could have as many as six.
I know, that's just ridiculous.
And you know what? It's true. There could be six goalies.
And it's as much a comment on how mediocre, well, not mediocre, but there just hasn't been a lot of standout performances from the forwards and defensemen. There might be zero defensemen.
I think there absolutely will be zero defensemen. Okay, I'm going five.
Five and five?
No, six.
Six?
It's six.
Six what?
Six goalies. Tell me if all these guys deserve a look in the 10. J.P. Lamoureux, yes, obviously.
Yes.
Peter Menino, probable.
I think he's on
probably sixth on this list.
Yeah,
probably
well,
sixth.
It depends on who the
well,
other
he and Stalock. Stay locked for Minnesota Duluth.
Yeah, I think he's...
He's right up there.
I know he is.
He's on the bubble.
What about the CC kid? Bachman.
You know, Bachman's an interesting case, and this is more just looking at it from a WCHA standpoint, because I've got to pick a year-end team. Bachman might be the league MVP as far as what he's meant to his team, but I might pick Garrett Rowe from St. Cloud State for Rookie of the Year. I saw Rowe last weekend. That is one of those players you just love. I mean, works his rear end off on every shift, plays with his chip on his shoulder, little guy, crazy skills. So I was impressed.
Yeah. Mark Dekanich, Colgate, his numbers are out of this world. Kevin Regan.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, Regan.
Jeff Lurg.
I think.
Oh, by the way, yeah. Especially national champion goaltender.
Zatkoff.
Probably CCHA all first team.
See, I don't think so. I think Zatkoff is first team.
I think Lurg shut out over the weekend gets the job. I think he gets the nod. And the name recognition and star power from last spring. But we'll see. That's why they make the votes, so to speak.
Right. And I think, you know, you're looking at...
But, I mean, we've mentioned 9 guys now.
And three
crazy.
Forward. I mean, does UNH
crazy.
Get 2 guys?
Will UNH get 2 Hobie finalists?
Yeah.
No.
No,
I mean,
they won't.
Fornataro and Raja have each had tremendous seasons, but I mean, Regan's the backbone of that team. I shouldn't say he's the backbone of that team. They have a phenomenal offense, and that's the reason why they win a lot of games, but Regan has been otherworldly for the last, you know, 2 or 3 months now. I mean, his numbers are phenomenal. He just shut out Boston College, and, you know, he's playing great hockey, and he's flying very much under the radar. He could potentially also set the Hockey East all-time wins record. I think he stands at 49 right now. Might be 50. I think there was a mishap with the stats a couple weeks ago. So I'm not sure what the exact number is, but Clemenson has 52. So if Regan can take a game or two this weekend and then get a couple wins in the playoffs, he's going to...
They don't count the playoff games in that, Rook.
Do they not?
That stat is only conference regular season games.
Oh, well, I swallowed a bug.
Is he too?
Moral of that story, though, is Kevin Regan is good.
That's true. Kevin Regan is good at hockey.
And he's 2 behind? Is that?
I think he has
50.
We're
not sure.
But
give or take.
Depending on which press release you read from Hockey East last weekend, he either had 48 or 49.
Sounds like a league I cover.
Look, Hockey East has been phenomenal this year. I love the new redesign of the website, but I'm telling you, I get their press releases in my email, and I feel like over the last 2 weeks, I have gotten more corrected press releases than the originals.
That's been going around across the country.
Yeah.
Game recaps, game notes.
It's that time of year. It's that time of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So we think 6 goalies?
It could be 6. I don't think it will be 6. I think it'll be 5. No, it can't be 5, can it? Kevin Porter. Let's go Kevin Porter and one of the Miami forwards. Let's go Ryan Jones, Kevin Porter.
Yeah, I think those 2.
Let's go Gerby.
Yeah,
He's a lock.
Yeah.
And I hate to use the term, but Ryan Crothers will get the token from the minor conferences.
Okay.
He will.
Oh, I know he will.
And he deserves it. I'm not saying he'll get it. Because it's, you know, he deserves it.
No,
he's
it's not.
Goals.
Right.
Yeah. So Ryan Crothers, those
4.
We already said there'll be no defensemen, which there won't be.
I don't think so. I don't think there'll be a WCHA forward.
How crazy is that? Not Lowe or Rowe? Lash.
But, you know, that's the thing. Their numbers are also similar.
Yeah, well, yeah, you've got three guys with almost identical numbers. Duncan? Yeah, Duncan? Yeah, he's had a drop-off. He's got the Hobie hangover. Let's just hope he doesn't get trapped in an elevator. That's never been proven.
I think all we need is a black light, don't we?
Oh my. And a mop. Ryan Crothers, Robert Morris. 20 goals, 25 assists, 45 points.
That's...
I mean, since we're going all goalies, why not Josh Castle? If we need a quote-unquote token from a minor conference. He's in the mix.
I think so. But obviously not a banner year for forwards and defensemen.
Seven goalies in the country have goals against averages under 2.0.
But is that because they're good, or is that because the forwards and defensemen aren't good?
I think the goaltending is definitely improving. So is the defensive schemes that the coaches are using, especially in Hockey East right now.
Five goalies are 93% or better save percentage. That's unbelievable.
How many are 90% or better?
Oh, plus it's got to be 53.
Holy
mackerel. 53 at
90%. That's
17 at 92 or better.
Jeez.
With three guys at 919 right behind that. I mean, yeah, it's crazy.
It's the dead puck era.
It is the dead puck era.
Anyway, what else? Another note that I'd like to add, I tuned into the Michigan Ferris State game on Friday on my way from East Lansing to Detroit and caught a first intermission interview. Jim Hunt was talking to CCHA Commissioner Tom Anastas and asked him about the shootout, and you know, obviously they're gonna talk about it. We kind of beat this to death. This is more of an update than anything. We kind of beat that to death a few weeks ago. Tom Anastas says he likes it. He says, you know, people want to see somebody win. And he says, you know, the fans think it's exciting. And, you know, that's his take on the matter. I don't know what the coaches think. I think obviously if you've listened to us for any period of time, you know what we think.
Let's restate our position for the new listeners. I like it, but it shouldn't count for an extra point in the standings. Can't have 3-point games in college hockey. It's making the NHL system crazy right now. In college hockey, it's too much because you only play 22 to 28 games in your league.
The one coach I've asked about it, Don Lucia, said he hates the idea, and for exactly that reason, too few games.
It's not enough games. I mean, how many ties are there in Hockey East this year? I mean, every team has five or more almost.
Yeah, there's a million ties. I don't think it would definitely be fun, and it's great for the holiday tournaments and all that other stuff, but there's no place for it in the regular season. There's just really no point.
Right.
That's like giving a team a participation trophy, right, Gladys?
Ribbon. How about a nice ribbon?
Yeah, I love those. Let's have like a little tournament after everyone's season's done just to make them feel good about themselves.
That's what the skills competition is for.
All right, conference only. Hockey standings, 40 ties combined between the teams. That means 20 games have ended up tied, which means you're going to hand out 20 extra points in the standings in a league that from fifth, you know, from second to seventh is separated by 5 points. You don't think BC would like a shot with those seven ties?
WCHA has 36 ties in conference play. That means
18 points
wow.
out.
And then
Minnesota has
nine
ties.
If you start doing that, you're not rewarding the team or the best team over the course of a long season. Let's say UMass Lowell has, and not looking at the standings, I don't know how many ties they have, but let's say they have two kids on that team who are tremendously talented, you know, skill position forwards, and they would be great at the shootout, but you know, somebody else up top, Doug, you know, you're looking at a team that's in seventh place right now or tied for sixth place, and you're going to reward all those extra points. You know, what if UMass Lowell starts getting every single point in the shootout? You know, so you're taking a team right now that will be really 5 points worse than a BU or a Vermont in the standings, but because they're good at shootouts or they're good at getting into overtime, they're going to get that extra point, and they're going to be rewarded with a home ice spot in the first round of the playoffs.
Oh, I know. That's what, yeah. That's exactly what, where our stance is.
Yeah. Like, I think.
So now we've rehashed it. But
yeah, we've rehashed
it. Yeah, it'll be
it.
Talked about this summer.
But the other thing that
just say no. Just
yeah,
say no to shootouts.
Well, you know what? We're going to make yard signs.
We're making T-shirts for the Frozen.
Yeah.
Just say no.
I was going to say, I don't know what a
shootout.
Somebody
shootouts. What?
I don't know what it's going to say. Somebody. Patrick. Somebody out there.
Patrick's what?
Somebody out there probably has a good slogan.
Watch Ovechkin on SNHD score 10 goals.
But the other thing Tomlin asked to said on that interview was he. And I'm paraphrasing here, so if I kind of maybe misconstrue what he said, it's not intentional. But he said he would be interested also in looking at a 4-on-4 overtime.
I think you're better off going to 4-on-4 overtime for 10 minutes than a shootout after 5.
I would agree.
I got an idea.
Go for it.
Eliminate 5 whistles a game, minimum, and increase scoring at the same time. Very simple plan.
How do you do that?
Puck hits the net behind the goal and bounces back into play. Keep playing.
That's what they do now.
No, they don't.
You're talking about
the netting
above the glass.
The netting above the glass. The puck hits it and bounces right back onto the ice. Why do they blow the whistle and face off?
That's a good call.
You get rid of at least 5 whistles a game. You get goofy bounces that increase scoring.
You've
games are on
hockey.
Average.
Well, why don't
you
play all
shorter?
The games in Madison Square Garden then?
Okay.
Take out the seamless glass. You're fine.
Put up chicken wire.
Yeah, there you go.
We should put big. No, I don't. I don't disagree with you. Play on.
And I mean, sometimes it, you know, it hits the netting and it stays up there, or, you know, then obviously you have a whistle and play on, but, you know, I've seen so many of these times this year where the puck, you know, hits the net just above the glass, bounces right back down onto the rink, and, oh, whistle, let's face off.
Right.
Why? Puck's right there. Keep playing.
Jess, I'm imagining this situation, though. Line rush, 2-on-2, forward comes in, lines up, weak side winger goes to the net, defenseman gets the poke check out there, hits his stick blade and goes up into that protective netting above the glass, and it falls in the corner, and the defenseman doesn't know where it is. And that other weak side forward is coming flying in there. You're looking at a lot of boarding penalties. You're looking at a lot of dangerous situations. More on line rushes. I mean, I know you're probably imagining things where, you know, you've got possession in the zone, but I just see a lot of that stuff, and I think it's player safety as well. And who wants to win a game on that when you know, you get a late man off a line change or whatever, and the goalie has no idea where it is, you know, and they get a wraparound because it hit, you know, 40 feet above the playing surface.
Bounces back in, hits the goalie in the back of the head, drops in the net. They'd be
That's
talking
not
about
exciting.
It.
You've seen too many baseball games in the Metrodome.
Exactly.
I watched too much arena football.
Homer off the speaker.
Arena baseball. I don't know. That's my stance on it. I don't like it.
Buck, to your theory, yes. Yes, I have. And there's a new stadium under construction.
Yeah.
And before it's built, they're going to trade all of their players to the Red Sox.
That's right.
Except for one, who's in the Mets.
Yeah.
I hate the Mets. That is.
You love Tom Glavine.
The forgiveness process has begun. It has begun. Taking small steps toward an amiable relationship. I'm willing to give him, like, a cordial, respectful attitude every 5 days, as long as he wins.
Now, what are you going to do this year, since they're not going to be on the Superstation?
I already bought the package.
He's going to fly to Denver and watch them anyway.
I'm going to fly to Denver and watch the Braves. Oh, yeah. You guys want me to work for you guys while I'm out there?
Yeah. You can go to D.C., too, see that new park.
What's the time of the early frozen semi? 1 o'clock Denver time? 2, 3?
That's a good question.
Because that getaway day game on that Thursday is at 1.
I don't think you're making it. Getaway day. I don't think you're making getaway
day. Glad he's doing a man in the crowd piece at Coors Field.
It's an inch podcast live from the Rock Pile in Center.
Home of the $1 ticket. I don't know if they're one anymore. I think they might be four.
I think they're $5.
Are they? Yeah. You're a long way from the action.
You're closer to Center Ice at Pepsi Center.
Closer to Boulder.
It's that time of the year, as we said, because the Inch Party is starting to take shape, looking into some things, some possibilities.
And we won't tell you where it is.
We won't tell you, unless you're a true fan.
Let's just say we've got a short list.
We got a short list.
You know
That's
what we should
fair.
Do? We won't say on the podcast. We'll use the secret word thing again. And then if they email us the secret word, then we'll tell them.
Yeah, we'll do that with an upcoming podcast.
The Insiders Club.
We will also...
The best part is...
And trust me, fans... And trust me, fans, that's the only way I get to go to the party, so.
Damn it, boss, that's the problem.
Damn, that is. We keep dropping, yeah. We keep trying to ditch him every year. And
I show up and they're like, didn't we tell you the party was Sunday?
Feisty Bulldog, St. Louis. So we'll be the last year we have them together this year. Head on over there. We'll see you at 10.
You know, the funny thing is we've got a place for 2009 before we have 2008.
Yeah, the 2009 location has been scouted out. And
yeah, the site selection committee
You made a verbal.
We did make a verbal.
The site visit was successful.
Yeah, soft verbal. You know what? It's a soft. Pretty good, I think it's more than a soft verbal.
It's a verbal.
If there was a letter of intent, I'd sign it.
Your family advisor. You can't sign until signing day. Your family advisor has said that... It's verbal to the location and the district.
I would be very, yeah. We're not going to say it yet, though, because they might, you know, like we said, we can't say it.
You'll need another year in the USHL before you
that's it. Go play in Sioux Falls. But, yeah, it's we got a place for 09 in Washington. I think we're going to have I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised by the Frozen Four in D.C., It's pretty.
I was a skeptic when it was first announced.
Well, I was too, having never been there. But knowing that
those big video boards make a huge difference.
Yeah, they
it's
do.
It's made Boston's rink better, which is hard to do because that place is the worst.
There's going to be some issues but not from a fan perspective. I mean, there's a lot of bars and restaurants around the rink, like close walk. I mean, there's obviously there's
and
no
you don't drive down there. You have to metro in.
You have to take the train in. There's no question. I think hotels around there might be a little bit of an issue. Obviously, things to do when there's not hockey going on isn't going to be a problem.
Yeah, watch dead guys. watch dead guys sculpted in clay sit there and do nothing.
Having tried to drive there once, I can vouch for that. Take the metro.
Yeah.
But it's going to, I think, you know, it's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time. And the rink is... I thought it was nice.
Same as all the other pro rinks.
It is. It is. But it's, you know, it's, I mean, you looked at last year with St. Louis. That was kind of a dark rink. And
it was. Milwaukee was dark, too.
Wasn't dark where I was sitting.
Oh, yeah. We were under the stadium lights.
On the glass.
Yeah, exactly. Let's ask QM what he thought of his seat.
Well, that's the other thing too. But when you're high, obviously in these rinks, you're a long ways away. But I thought it was bright, it was airy. It was a decent rink. It had Dunkin' Donuts on the concourse.
There you go.
Ooh.
So,
Rook, welcome back, Rook.
Thanks, Gladdy.
Should we take listener recommendations for Denver party site?
Yeah, I think we can. I've got a short list. Right now my list is...
Liked what I saw last night. The last one you sent was out of our... That's not in our ballpark. But...
I mean, it's close to the rink, but...
Yeah, I know. Here's what we're looking for, folks. This is the criteria. And if you can come up with something, looking for drink specials, talented wait staff, and a separate room. It's got to be kind of a... doesn't have to be a completely private room, but just something with a little bit of a monitor, you know, where you have to pass through these walls or whatever.
And relevant.
We want that curtain like the first class section on the plane has.
We'll hang up a sign, you know, that you run underneath and you tap it that says, you know.
Play like a champion today.
No. Drink like
drink like a fish today.
Drink like a 4-8 BCS football team today.
You keep Syracuse out of this.
They didn't have 4 wins the last 2 years.
I told you that was going to happen when they hired that guy.
Yes, you did.
Saw him in action.
Yes, you did.
I said, what an idiot.
Then he gets the dreaded vote of confidence.
Yeah.
But did not get the imminent firing 2 weeks later.
What were the criteria were?
Separate room.
Specials.
Yeah, drink options also.
And it's got a hop. It's got to have some jump.
It's got to have a little buzz. Yeah, a little.
Some jump.
A little jump, yeah, exactly. Need some jump. It's a jukebox or a pool table or a dartboard or all the above or a little baby band playing in an adjacent room.
They have to be open to us potentially spilling things.
Yeah, that's true.
Bubble hockey.
That's ambitious. That's the frosting, not the cake. The icing, as people like to say.
You sell the sizzle, though. Remember, you sell the sizzle.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I got that.
More sizzle, less steak. More steak, less sizzle.
Yeah, I think we've got a couple options.
Yeah. Anyway, if you know a place like that in Denver, particularly in the downtown area.
Yeah, it's kind of got to be in that Lodo area.
Lodo. Send us a note. And if you got people there, say, hey.
If you got a guy,
we'll talk. We'll make it worth your while to write us an email, believe us.
And if any of you listeners are invited and you want to pass along to me where it's at, let me know.
Yeah. If you want to be part of the espionage to get Jess to go to other bars, let us know.
It's like a scavenger hunt for Jess. Find my friend. No, no, we're out at the Airport Marriott in the bar. It's awesome. In Reno. They've got a signed jersey by John Elway. You got to be here.
Send him to the Orange Julius.
The Blue Oyster Bar.
And then every year, and then every year he finds us, and it's the same thing.
Screw you guys! I'm getting him.
Not even that. He just disappears.
I think we all disappear at some point later on in that night.
That's true.
Well, at
least you and I stayed in the same county the whole night last time.
County? State?
Yeah. We didn't cross any borders other than our own personal...
Well, you know what? there was a border that was crossed the following night. We need to have a live one of these. We can tell all the stories.
Yeah, that would be great.
That just happened.
Who will ever forget trying to wash your own towel?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Many borders crossed last year.
Towels. Lots and lots of towels. Okay.
That's
okay.
Enough.
Anything else with college hockey? Or are we going to wrap this?
Yeah, we better wrap this because somebody's going to swear or say something foul. And I'm just talking about myself.
You know what? I respect hockey traditions, and I'm a firm believer in superstitions and those kinds of things because I don't know, I like it. But Clarkson won the ECAC Hockey Championship, the regular season title, on Friday night.
Uh-oh.
And none of their guys would touch the trophy. And it's not like winning, you know, the American League and going to the World Series or winning the NFC and going to the Super Bowl, Eastern Conference or whatever. It's a whole different thing. And I know where they're coming from, and they've got their sights set on bigger things, and not even from a Frozen Four NCAA tournament standpoint, but from winning it in Albany in a few weeks. But the thing that I just wonder, and I hope that in 5, 10, 15 years, who knows what's going to happen. Nobody knows with any of the teams in the country right now. But I hope they don't look back on that and say, you know, we really should have celebrated that more. Or we shouldn't have taken it for granted, or we shouldn't have downplayed that achievement. Because what we were saying earlier, that the regular season, it means so much. And I feel bad when I see that, and I hope they don't miss out on something that they really worked hard and earned.
Well, not only that, but you look at in the pros, you know, obviously these guys have many, you know, most of them anyways have a lot of chances to win. Where, you know, whereas in college, you only have four chances to
win.
Yeah,
these are guys that, you mean, your age, you grew up with them, you hang out with them. Yeah.
Minnesota tried that 2 years ago. They refused to touch the McNaughton Cup when it was handed to them. I believe Gino Geyer was their captain, went and took the cup, set it down at center ice and skated away, and they all, you know, circled around, did a thick salute, but nobody touched it. And 2 weeks later, they lost a Holy Cross, so.
Yeah, I mean.
Apparently that didn't work. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know. Just something I wanted to rant on. So.
Well, UNH, when they won the regular season crown in Hockey East 2 weekends ago, some people wanted to criticize them for taking the victory laps with the trophy, so. I wasn't one of those people. I thought, you know, you win a championship, you have every right in the world to celebrate it how you want.
Absolutely.
You know, like you said, regular season's a long haul. It's a grind. You accomplish something like that, you deserve to You deserve to celebrate how you want.
Well, and not only that, but especially in college, how often do you get a chance to celebrate something in front of your home crowd in your home rink?
Oh, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
I remember in 2001 when Michigan State won the CCHA regular season championship. It was either the last weekend or second to last weekend. And, you know, Michigan was there. It was a home game, Michigan at Munn, and MSU wins 3-1, and, you know, here comes the trophy out. And, you know, granted, Michigan's there, so obviously they're going to make a little bit of a bigger deal out of it. But, but you know, the fans all the fans are out there holding up CCHA champ signs that were pre-printed, and, you know, it was a nice celebration, and, you know, all the guys got a chance to skate the trophy around, and, you know.
Now, how about the other way, though? If you clinch a regular season championship in somebody else's building, should you hold off? Should you wait till you're home?
Yeah.
I'm thinking, in 2000, Wisconsin clinched the title, the WCHA regular season title. They clinched it with a win at Mariucci Arena, and Jeff Sauer specifically said, we're not going to hoist the cup here. We're going to wait, and we're going to do it at home. You know, that wouldn't be right.
I agree with that.
I would, yeah, I do too. Yes.
I think you should do something on the ice, though, to honor the fans who travel to see you win that game.
I think you can present it, but then...
Yeah, commissioners there with the trophy, bring out the captains.
And, you know, fans had signs that said, you know, WCHA champions. It wasn't like it was not acknowledged.
Yeah, well, you know... Bring the trophy out, bring the commissioner out, handshake in a picture, skate over, stick salute, raise the trophy, they cheer, they sing the fight song, and then you go home.
If you win your conference, be proud.
I agree.
That's all we're saying.
I mean, Jeff, you know, if you're AFC champions, walk proud, darn it.
I thought all those Vikings jokes were sent to, you know, quiet you for a little while. Jesse's team has one good player, and all of a sudden he can talk all he wants.
Vikings have a good
yeah,
player.
They do have one
Bernard
good player.
Bernard Berry on the Patriots.
He just signed a contract extension.
It's just like every other Minnesota sport. They've got one good player in Boston.
Phil Kessel. Kevin Garnett.
Poppy.
Hey, Poppy.
Although, Jeff, I got to give you credit. After the Super Bowl, I said, you know, maybe now that a 16-0 team didn't win the Super Bowl, everybody will forget a 15-1 team that didn't make it to the Super Bowl. And Jeff emails me back and says, do you notice a common denominator there? And I said, oh, yeah, one guy.
What, Denny Green wasn't coaching that team?
Well, and the Pittsburgh Steelers didn't win the Super Bowl when they were 15-1 in 2004.
That's right. That's right. They didn't get there either.
Yeah. Being a Viking fan is...
Were we talking about the Atlanta Braves earlier? Oh, no. And also talking about how important regular season championships are.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
You got a banner. You got one.
I believe we have a call from Lonnie Smith.
Yeah. Don't get me started on Minnesota.
Yeah, how's Terry Pendleton doing these days?
Still an MVP.
The Braves have a banner.
They do have a banner.
95, baby.
Yeah, so you got one.
Yeah, it was awesome.
But what is it, the theory that it's 20 years after you win a championship, you can start complaining?
I guess.
Unless you're a Yankee.
I don't complain.
Fan.
The Twins are creeping up on that fast, so.
I don't buy that because, like Craig Kilborn said, those Twins championships were just, those were gravy. I mean, Nobody ever expected them. That's like the Lightning. Can a Lightning fan complain about their team not being good?
Yeah.
No. They somehow won.
Exactly.
somehow.
Can Lake Superior State fans complain?
That's a good question.
Because it's been a while, but those were, I mean, you look back now and you know, if you don't know college hockey, you look back and you think, how did that happen? But Lake State was a powerhouse for as long as they were and as good as they were. I mean, it wasn't a fluke thing. They were legitimately a great, great program.
Well, in that same era was Maine's Sean Walsh teams in the early 90s. Have you guys ever seen a hour-long documentary on the 93 Maine team?
Out of the Woods, it's called.
Called Out of the Woods?
Yep.
Yeah, fantastic. I watched it on YouTube last week.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it's on YouTube. It's in 10 segments, 10 six-minute-long segments.
Yeah, I'll have to tune in.
Yeah,
I thought it needed more of the Ferraros, but interesting.
Yeah, I thought it needed less.
Not enough Patrice Tardif.
Well, I can't wait to see my next Rensselaer game and ask Jimmy Montgomery about it. He was captain of that team, and now he's an assistant coach with RPI. And
it's called Out of the Woods.
Prominently featured. Out of the Woods, narrated by Gary Thorne.
Really. Jim
Montgomery with a natural hat trick in the NCAA title game that year.
Exactly.
Hold on.
Yeah. Anyway, hockey fans, go back and take a look at it. Some good old pictures of old rinks and old sweaters. BC with the corny eagle flying around.
Corny.
Looks like the Randall Cunningham Philadelphia Eagle.
Vince Papale.
And if you're, you know, a hockey fan, you may not want to watch all Nesson broadcasts that do not involve Tom Caron. I was, you know that whole saying, it's like, well, watching a monkey trying to hump a football.
Yeah, I know that saying. Don't ask
me
how, though.
That's what it felt like listening to these two guys call the Maine Vermont game on Saturday night. There was this one guy who was a former hockey player. What?
Rookies?
I have no idea. Couldn't tell you their names. They've been doing it before, but I can't remember their names. One guy can't get through a sentence without saying which is awesome when you're watching television. The same station that, you know, broadcasts the Bruins and Red Sox. But they also said that Maine, if Maine lost that game, that they were done and completely out of the playoffs, and that was it. Their whole season was over. But they also controlled their own destiny if they won the game. So, I mean, both statements were completely false. I mean, all you have to do is look at the standings and be able to add, you know, two and two together to realize that, you know, Maine really wasn't out of the playoffs or having the ability to control its own destiny. So just small things there, but it seemed like everything that those two guys said was completely wrong. It was horrible, horrible television.
Was there any was there any redeeming value to the broadcast?
No.
Gutterson.
No.
What's that?
Was that in Orono or Gutterson?
It was at the Gut.
I was just wondering.
That's redeeming.
I was just wondering if there's any.
Oh, that redeeming.
Any additional members of the broadcast team that?
Yeah, who else was on the broadcast team?
No. There were no redeeming elements. And I am picking up what you're putting down.
Leaving that trail of breadcrumbs.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm smelling what you're cooking.
There was some interesting TV out this way over the weekend as well with FSN's decision to televise Minnesota at Alaska Anchorage, which I mentioned in my notebook.
Because they only show the Gophers?
Interesting would be the way to describe it. For a few reasons. One, Frank Mazzocco and Doug Woog decided to stay back in Minnesota and broadcast the games kind of remotely from the studio of Minneapolis, like just watching TV and calling the action what they saw. The second thing, the camera work, if you like the Blair Witch Project,
this was
similar. Kind of jumpy, kind of some bizarre extreme close-ups for no apparent reason. You could kind of follow the action. You'd be better off with, like, the radio broadcast on, just as backup. You know, nothing against Doug and Frank. You do a nice job.
But it struck me that, you know, Alaskan Anchorage has been a member of the WCHA for something like 15 years now, and I had never seen moving pictures of the inside of their rink before. It kind of blew me away. Seen still shots of all their yellow seats, but, yeah, kind of a new experience.
So jumpy cam
so I like
work.
Good start. Work on a couple of things, but I like it. I hope you do it every year. Keep those games on TV.
So it was jumpy camera work and some other production glitches, is what you're saying?
Yeah, just it needs some work. I mean,
Are you sure? Are you sure it wasn't a versus game?
Ooh, cross that off the list of potential Inch sponsors.
Why is everybody killing versus?
I should have said NBC.
Yeah. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Best thing about Versus hockey broadcasts are that they're hockey broadcasts.
Exactly.
They're not cutting in every 5 minutes to give me an update on the freaking Gonzaga Pacific women's college basketball game and, you know, how Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s spoiler is going to affect next week's race at Talladega. You know, when they go to intermission, they do hockey feature stories and highlights from other games.
They don't cut
an analysis of the game by
your
watching.
Basketball coaches.
Yeah, they don't do. They don't cut away for 20 minutes about Kelvin Sampson.
Yeah. So don't. Versus is good for hockey. And if people don't want to watch it, it doesn't matter what channel we put it on. They're not going to watch it.
Right.
That's a fact.
Well, that's because a lot of people don't get Versus, so they can't watch it.
Well, they're not going to. One of the great stories I've heard all year is a radio host on XM with a 24-hour hockey channel, thank God. He does a New York talk show with a, you know, prominent New York City media figure. He does Yankee play-by-play and other such events and games and feature shows.
Susan Waldman?
Whose name is Michael Kay. And the Habs and the Rangers game, the Rangers are about to blow this 5-0 game. This game was a couple weeks ago. I'm sure a lot of people remember it. And the host, who works with Michael Kay, says, you got to turn this on. We'll talk about it on the show tomorrow. Michael Kay gets home, forgets about the phone call he had received 20 minutes later, when two original six teams are playing in, you know, an historic regular season game, if there is such a thing. And he says, oh, he gets to work the next day. He goes, oh, I forgot. I turned on the Family Guy on TBS and made it some microwave food. So he can sit there and still talk about why Isaiah Thomas shouldn't coach the Knicks and why Jabba Chamberlain should get 10 starts for the Yankees, which is the same thing they talk about every day on the show. So, there you go.
Did you say which episode of the Family Guy it was?
No. Darn it. Yeah, the one with the fart jokes and the pop culture references.
Oh, that was a good one.
That was a good one.
I don't think I like your tone.
He was probably, before he forgot all those things, he was probably brainstorming new ways for Susan Waldman to say George or Roger Clemens is in George's box.
Oh, my goodness gracious! Something looks different about him.
Roger Clemens is in George's box.
Great moments in Yes history right there. Actually, that would have been on the radio, right?
That was on the radio, yeah.
660?
I heard a radio talk show host clip that played that Waldman clip, and then he claimed she was like auditioning to be a pro wrestling announcer.
Okay, we're done podcasting. So thanks for listening to the Inch Podcast for March 3rd. We'll have another one soon as playoffs continue. Again, we'll take Denver recommendations and any other feedback at inch@insidecollegehockey.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy this weekend's games.
That just happened.